Okay. Ready, Tovia? Okay, I want to learn a little Shulchan Aruch today. Before we do anything, we have to finish the seven. Says the Mechaber in Sif Zayin, Chosamos shebekelim, this is the chiluk the Gemara makes between Chosamos in kelim and Chosamos in karka. Chosamos shebekelim, because we know, if you recall, we paskin, yesh bin yusdir b'karka, obviously, and ain bin yusdir b'kelim. So we had a debate, and we'll see it again right now, what it means ain bin yusdir b'kelim. But it definitely means something. It definitely means that a minimal type of bin yusdira does not apply to kelim. Like, for example, we saw by mustaki, and that's what we're going to say here also. Chosoma shebekelim, seals of kelim. Gonshita tevo migdol sha'akiso shalom kosher b'chevel. Like, for example, you have a type of chest where the cover is tied on with a rope. Yocholatiro, you can untie the rope. That's not such a chiddush. Why is that not a chiddush? Because we're dealing with here when it's not a kesher shel kayama. We're not getting into all of kosher matzah here, but we're talking about a temporary knot. So a temporary knot, taka, you're allowed to untie, right? I mean, we're dealing with something you tie and untie every day. Let's for this an example. So tying it is not a problem. That's not the chiddush of shin yudalot. That's okay. You just have to look later on in Shin Yud Zayin to see all the details. But the chiddush is ol lechaycho b'sakin. You can chop the ropes off, even though you're destroying like part of the kli. But it's okay because just the kli, and it's a very weak kind of destruction, which is not so super kalim. Ol lehatzer kli also, or you can un. Someone help me with the English vocabulary here. You know, every rope is like wound of many, many strands. Right? What?
Unbraid.
You can unbraid the rope. Great. The dafka ke'en chiras chevel v'kayotzibo. And that's only if it's some sort of weak, flimsy seal like ropes. Abo posacha shel eis shamateches. But if the lock is made of metal or wood, if it's a very serious lock, like those old-fashioned chests which have the big metal locks, Aser lafkil the shaber, you can't pry it off and break it. To the kelim nami shayv binim gomer ustira gemura. This is the machaber l'shitase in Sif Aleph, who paskind that yesh binyan ustira b'kelim. If it's binyan gomer and stira gemura, like the Rambam and Tosfos against Rashi, and therefore if it's a real lock, that's a real part of a heavy kli, then that's an isser of stira even in kelim, and that's exactly the same thing as you're allowed to break a mustiki barrel, but you're not allowed to break a regular barrel. sorry. Umitam ze also hasher atzirim shekurin gunzis achori ateva nevad amavteach. Therefore, you're not allowed to take out the hinges. Let's say you lose the key to your chest, so you can't break the lock. No problem, just take off the hinges, and then you could open the lid from the other side, right? One side of the lid is locked. So just take off the hinges, and then you'll be able to take it off. So it's usher to take off the hinges, because that's really breaking. That's really breaking a kli. However, here we have v'yesh matirim bezo. This is the first machlokes we've shown here. This is machlokes between Rabbeinu Peretz and Mikinon, whether you're allowed to take out the hinges, and Rabbeinu Peretz is the first day here who ushered it, but the Rikinon matter taking out the hinges. And his logic was, if you look in the Beis Yosef, maybe it's called Nosei Kelim, that you're not really breaking anything. Alright, what is he... This stira grua came into the lishbor shem davar. You're not breaking anything, right? If you break the lock, that's breaking. That he agrees is usser. To smash the teva, he agrees is usser. But just to take out the hinges is not. You're not breaking any pieces. You're just. I assume the hinges are nailed in somehow, either with nails or with spikes or something. You're just taking them out, and that's not breaking anything. So that's not a problem of soser. What's
Mishnah Berurah didn't explain it to us.
Well, the Mishnah Berurah, I just read you the Mishnah Berurah. Sfira leid l'odomi l'shviras posachas v'shtira gruahi.
Lamed Vav.
We're not up to Lamed Vav. That's a different part of the Shulchan Aruch.
Well, excuse me.
That's the next line in the Shulchan Aruch.
Sorry.
The now the It's a little tricky here because the Magen Avraham, it just asks the kasha more pithily, but the Taz is asking the same kasha. He says, hold on a second. You're saying that just taking, it's basically, I don't know how they made their hinges. But hinges, they're either nailed in with nails, right? Or, you know, sometimes they have like boxes, like you don't hammer it in with a nail, just the hinge itself has like a spike coming out of it and you nail that in. But either way, it's nailed in. Hinges are nailed in and you're taking out hinges that are nailed in. Hold on a second. How can you say that's not Binyan Stira Gemurah because you're not breaking anything? Don't we know from the Rambam quote at the end of Shin Yud Gimel, if you knock the wooden handle of the hammer into the head of the hammer, even though it's just nailing, that's Tkiah. That is Binyan Gomer. If you nail nails, that's Tkiah. That's Binyan Gomer. Meaning, this is for sure Binyan Stira Gemurah. One of the forms of Binyan Stira is Tkiah. And Tkiah means you just nail something or wedge it in, and stira would be to unwedge it, to take it out. So what's pshat? How come this is not? How come the rikinon is mekel? So, the Magen Avraham here says that that's only, that the rikinon holds, that tkiah is only usur if you're making a kli. If you're making a kli, tkiah is not usur just because of hammering. It's only considered bona when it makes a kli, like attaching the handle to the head of the hammer. But what the kul of the rikinon here? Because even though you're doing on tkiah, right? But even without hinges, it's still a kli. If you have a chest with a lid, lots of people have like toy chests, and the lid doesn't have hinges. You just put the lid on and take it off. That's not so crazy. And certainly if it's locked on one side, you take off the hinges on the other side, you can still open and close the chest. So therefore, he says, the iser of tkiah b'kalim is only if you're making or breaking a kli. However, if you're just changing the form of a kli from one form to another form, from a better kli to a worse kli, or from a kli that works one way to a kli that works another way, that's not Binyan Stira B'Kalim.
The opposite is also true.
It's
not only by Stira. You can hammer in the Kav according to that.
According to this, the simple pshat is that you should be able to hammer in the cover as well. Unless you want to say that there is choshesh for makom patish. That's a little unclear. Meaning is the only... But Taka, that's what the... let's mention the Taz for a second. There are two main Pirushim on the Daf. One is the Magen Avraham, and one is the Taz. Says the Taz here, V'yesh Matiron Das Rimi Kinon Shagazra Mordechai, and he says, Yeah, gzeret shem yitaka lo kosh kai yasim asirim ela she yitaka bechozek ma'od kide pirish rashi. He says, no, hinges of a chest are not tkiah, they're not strong enough. That's the sheet of the remake to know. It's because tkiah is only really strong, like when you have the handle of the hammer, that has to go in really, really, really strong because you have to hammer things and it won't come loose. Right? Or like some things when you nail, they have to be super duper duper strong. Because maybe you're going to walk on them or something. But the hinges of the lid of a chest, those aren't in so strong. Even though it seems strong to us, it's not as strong as these other things. It's not with the same level of chozek. And therefore, it's not tkiah. And taki, you could put the hinges or remove the hinges. Now, this is a big chiddush, you know, and it's a very subtle distinction. How do you know exactly what's super duper strong and what's not so strong?
Right. I thought the shot of hinges was that, by definition, hinges aren't like stuck in; they're more like serves as a hinge. Like over here, the hinge on the side over here, like you could pull out the nail; it doesn't have to be stuck in. It's just that it's connecting the.
Right, I don't know if they had a nail, but it sounds like you're mamish removing the hinge from the chest. But maybe it wasn't attached so strong.
It sounds like you're just pulling out the pin.
Did they have pulling out pins?
But if you say like that, then how's it different than Aleph?
Aleph? You're breaking a whole barrel.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No, with the door, with the pegs.
What?
The door pegs.
The door off the teva. Weren't you taking it off of the tsirim, off of the
hinges? Those door pegs. You said the top you could do, if the top came off the bottom, that's pegs. This is hinges. This seems more strong.
Maybe there it was also because you were going to take it out of its hinges and remove it. And here you're talking about taking the hinges themselves off. Right?
Right.
So then there's got to be some overlap with what, you know?
Look, we did have the idea that, you mean back in Shin Yud Gimel you're referring to? About the hinges?
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That we had the Shida Teva Migdal, etc., with putting the pegs back in, etc. And yet here he says, he says that according to the Rikinon, he says, Matir Basimas Tzirim, you're allowed to put the hinges in. Because it's not so hard. So now, here I'm admitting my ignorance of exactly the different kinds of kelim they had. It sounds like the Rikinon would say, meaning what's in Shin Yud Gimel is Gemaras. He can't just deny them. Those were things where you had to attach really strong, and these are things that you don't attach so strongly. It could be that, I admit, he is talking about Asar Tzira. Asar Tzira sounds like you're taking off, I don't know how to take off the hinges. Maybe those hinges were attached in a very weak way. I don't know. Anyone know how they made hinges 800 years ago?
I'm old, not that old.
You used the name of the type of hinge, a gunzish.
The what?
A gunzish hinge.
Okay. Apparently, these were sort of weak.
According to the sheet that we have to reapply everything we had last week, to the shelves in Israel. According to that, all the shelves that they put in the bookcases, all moved out of put it in, take it out, because those things are nothing. Those pegs that you put in. According to the Rikinon, it's all muta.
Even not according to the Rikinon.
No, last week you said that you think that there's putting those things in is different probably kinds of, not the setup.
Right, so there's different kinds of pegs. Some of them are very loose, some of them are stronger.
None of them, they need a hammer. According to this Rikinon, even with a hammer, you would be allowed. It's totally different than anything we've said until now.
Okay. And Hakami.
Now, I think also just like a door, you'd have to be stronger than like a
table. That so Lamaisa, this now, again, what Zev mistakenly pointed to the wrong Mishnah before, you could have said the Rikinon just holds Ein Stira Behilu Klal and Shalom Al Yisrael, like Rashi and Shalom Al Yisrael. But that's not the way that's not the way the Achronim understand in the original context. They assume he's moda this year, but Caleb, if you would break, because he says, don't break the whole chest. Only, don't break the lock. Only take out the hinges. So he's admitting this year, but Caleb. If he's admitting this year, but Caleb, why are the hinges mutter? Either because the hinges are not in so strong, and that's not Tkia, that's the Taz, or because he has only a problem when it makes or breaks the Kli. Not when it just has a subtle difference in the exact way you open and close it. Either way, that's a big Chiddush. The Taz is Chiddush that is in very weak. Usually hinges, we assume, are in pretty strong. You know, are we really going to say hinges are in weak? I mean, hinges are generally strong things. Even this pin on the door... You should know, if you try to take the pin on the door, I don't think they have pins. It's not always so posh to do without a hammer, in or out. I think on most doors, it's very hard. I don't think you could do without a hammer. But it all depends.
No, I was talking about the shelves.
Okay.
I'm at the doors, all the mirror pasot on purpose, so maybe they can just take them off. The mirror pasot are usually from the bathroom, they all make them, so they just take them off.
Okay. That's so you get things through.
Yeah, because you need...
Okay, but most stores. Okay, so either way, simple shot is we don't rely on this Rikinon, and if you lost the key to your box, and it's a serious chest, you know, a real like trunk, that's what they call it nowadays, and you lost the key on Shabbos, then you're just in trouble, because you can't break it because it's a real plea. You can't even break the lock because it's a real plea. And we don't rely on the Rikinon. You can't take off the hinges, and what are you supposed to do?
What do you mean that you can't break the lock? Talking about...
Like you take a hammer and smash the lock.
Talking about an external lock. You're talking about a lock that's from the thing itself. If it's an external lock, there shouldn't be any problem to break it. It's not part of the cleat.
No, but the lock itself is a cleat that you're smashing. I understand. I have a real padlock, a real serious padlock. First of all, I don't know if they had external locks in the days that we showed them. I have a serious padlock, and I smash it. That's Dirabicalum. It's a cleat gummer.
Lock.
Yeah, it's Dirabicalum of the lock, so how does it help me? The lock is a cleat gummer. The lock is harder to smash than the chest. I need 2 hammers to smash a lock. I mean, if it's a good one. Okay. Now, yeah, we do have an 8th and a 2nd for some people, but you might just be stuck.
The lesson in the beginning is Ashita Ateva Amiga, which is like the same lesson as in Hey, Shinda Gilo.
Right.
Here we're saying it must be less than Arba Imsa'a, and so that's why we're technically saying it's a Kli.
The simple shot is less than Arba Imsa'a, and that's why we treat it as a Kli. Most, I don't know what the Shida Ateva and Migdal were like in those days, but in our days, it's often less than.
Shinya Gimel was quoted as putting the tzirin, taking the door off of a actual cabinet. It was much meant to be more like Arba, wasn't it?
Okay. Where were we? Okay. Now, at the end of Zion, you have another machlokas. And this says the end of Zion. And here the Lushan is a little awkward, I admit, but I don't have any better pshat than all the Achronim. We're up to Shvirat Potcho Shel Tevot, breaking the locks of chests. Now, it's a little funny to be discussing now, because you already discussed it, right? Before the hinges, he said, it's usher to break the locks, right? Potachat, that usher lishbor. So, it's a little funny that there he says usher here brings down a machlokas. The Taz is worried about this. The Gra says, no, probably just the Torah had it in a strange order, so the Mechaber puts in a strange order. And Lemaisa, even though the Lashon Mechaber is awkward, he just said, it's usher to break the lock. Machlokas about taking out the hinges. Now he's coming, why is he coming back to discuss the lock now? So the answer is, I just had an awkward way of expressing it because he was following the order of the Torah, and the Torah quoted that way because that was the order of the Makoros that he was quoting. So let's assume, like the Gra here, the Taz is Surf Ian. Why did he say it was usher and then come back and say, Yeshim after Yeshim Osir, it's a machlokas? The answer is maybe he had to write in an awkward way because that's the order of the Torah. So what does he say? Yeshmat to Yesh Oser. It's a machlokas rishonim about breaking kalim, right? The Smach quotes that Rabbi Eliezer says that it's mutter, and the Ri says that it's Oser. What is the base of this machlokas? So the Gra and the Mishnah Brura assume this is machlokas Rashi and Tosos that's Dir B'Kalim. The hinges were not. Those are all people admitted Yesh Dir B'Kalim, just the Riki known as special entry for hinges. Here, we're going back to Sif Aleph and saying, you know what, everything we said in Sif Aleph, that it's usher to break Kalim with strength, and that we just said 2 lines ago, it's usher to break Kalim if they're very strong, that's talking about Chlokas Rishonim. The Sambalas, some of the Rishonim Ashkenaz, the Yesh Matar, hold like Rashi, that ain't Dir B'Kalim, you can do whatever you want. And some of the Rishonim Ashkenaz, like the Ri, hold like the mainstream day of Tosfos, that, no, it's usher to do stira in a strong kli. And what's the psak of the mechaber here? It's not, he's not the one who makes up the psak. This is the smak's hachra. The smak says, mutra al yidei akum. Since some people say stira b'kelim was totally okay, and some people say stira b'kelim gemurim is usher, the kachra is mutra al yidei akum. So if you actually have this situation, you have the trunk, and you have to get something out of an emergency on Shabbos. Like, first of all, obviously the best itza is, if you lose the key to your trunk, is to find someone who knows how to pick locks. Everyone agrees that the Achron right that's mostly to pick locks on Shabbos. But let's say you don't have a locksmith. Then you can get a guy, and it's so important you're willing to break your key to get to it. You can get a guy to, break your key. This is a little controversial. The Beis Yosef quotes Rishonim who argue about this, and the Magen Avraham quotes from the Yam Shel Shlomo, this is not such a poshter. Meaning, we don't have a rule that whatever's a machlok is Rishonim, but Rali De Goy. No, sometimes when like the Tzdad and Leheter are stronger, we're Matra Ali De Goy, but we don't automatically matter any machlok is Ali De Goy. So says the Yam Shel Shlomo, quoted by the Magen Avraham, Yud Aleph. Here the Magen Avraham ends saying you can pick a lock. Or Besachin, Sakin, or B'machat, Tzori L'Tzorich, you can pick a lock, but to break it, Al Yidei Akum, he compromises only if you're really stuck, have some merubah or a rush, a need for a mitzvah. The Mishnah paskins this way, so he's a little more machmir. Then the Mechaber says, machlokes, we're matter all spirit became Al Yidei Goy. Not so pashat, says the Mishnah Berurah, only if it's a big shasat chak, like I have some merubah, or an important mitzvah. Okay, yeah. What? Well, the simple pshat is that the smashing a kli would... that's an interesting question. The simple pshat is that the smashing a kli would be drabbanan, because it's probably done derech kilkul. Meaning, it's not clear that you're improving anything by breaking this kli. Right? And if, I see your taina, Avi's taina, if we assume it's only drabbanan because it's makalkel, simple pshat is it's makalkel, right? Meaning, the kind of soser that's also deraisa is if after you take something apart, you're going to make it better somehow. But over here, l'chora, nothing's going to get better when the goy breaks into your chest. You know, the best you can hope for is that it'll only be a little worse than it used to be. But l'chora, it's not a tikkun, it's a kilkol. And then if it's makalkel yakum shvus deshvus. So therefore, what the Yamshu Shlomo was saying is basically, we're not making it at all. We just use the regular rule of shvus deshvus makom mitzvah or makom hefsim meruba, in which case we don't really rely on this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer at all. That is a proper halakha. So in which case, we can just erase this. It's Asur Lagamri. But we can still do Al Yidei Akum because the truth is only Asur Darbanan. Because even if Yesh Dira Bekalim, it's Kelkel, it's not the kind of stira that's Melech Machsheves. And therefore, it's any Yesh Dira Banan is Mutter for an important mitzvah. Or for a Hefsim Berubah. Okay, that's a good Ha'ara. Yeah?
What was the meaning that King of Loch could be asking?
Does it have to really be a Havmina? Meaning, does it have to be a good Havmina? He said it's a Mefurish Mishnah. What's the Havmina that picking the lock would be Usser? I don't know. Not sure. Could be there wasn't a Havmina. Just in case some Amaretz might be confused.
Are
the tools Moksa? It's Klisha Machla Isser. Maybe the Havmina is that you didn't know the Klisha Machla Isser Mutl Tzarech Gufo, right? This is one of the Makoros, the Klisha Machla Isser is Mutl Tzarech Gufo, that you can use a needle to pick a lock.
Well, that's like Kesher Shulchan, it's like a Kesher Shulchan.
No, it's a lock, it's not a knot.
Yeah, but if you don't have a key, it's staying closed.
But it's not a Kesher, not a knot. Okay. Ches. Choslos, we mentioned this a million times already. Choslos shall tomorrow Magrogris, the some sort of... receptacles which are made of like lulav branches or something, lulav leaves, where you keep your fruits. Emakisoi, meaning here corn grogros, right? It grew in the same tree, so it was a convenient way in the old days. What would you do? You would pick all your tamarim, and grogros just a dried tamarim, and and then you would pick off the lulavs and use those to weave them into some sort of packaging. Emakisoi kosher bechevel. What? They would let them ripen there. Okay, we'll come back to that in a second. Emakisoi kosher bechevel. If it is tied, if you tie on the top of it, you can untie it, you can unbraid it, you can cut it, right? Like we said above. And what's the chiddush? Afilu gufan shel choslos. The chiddush here is even the containers themselves you're allowed to cut. Why are you allowed to cut the containers themselves? Shekolzek mos shover goes mos shkin ke lishol choshev ahem. Because this is just like breaking the cracking the nut or the shell of the nut in order to get what's inside. Meaning, what the principle is, anything that's just a wrapper of the food, and that's not a problem of stira v'kalim. And b'chorah, that's also not a problem of Korea, right? Because it's just the wrapper of the food. And this supports what we said earlier in Sif Aleph, that there's no problem breaking the wrapper of the food al shviras kalim, because one of the main sources was, it's just the wrapper of the food, it's bustles of the food, it doesn't have chashivas. And likewise, there's no problem of Korea, and one of those there, why is there no Korea for Orshal Gabi Chavis? Because it's just the wrapper of the food and doesn't have chashivos of Korea. This brings up, Agav, might as well mention it.
Hard to see the comparison. The question is whether it's only because it's made out of the same product.
Why should all these be made out of the same product? I see what you're saying. Since it's because made from the same tree, it's like the Shulvan. That's not the way the Ron Post
can explain it. It's very hard to understand that.
But it seems to be this is wrapped.
Oh yeah, Grobers are fixed, and Tamarim are dates, so it's not necessarily the same tree. Very good.
No, but
it seems to me this is wrapped all around.
Okay.
Because it's a known thing. It's a whole industry in this country making things out of such products. So to say that it's like a wrapper, it's very difficult to hear it. So if you told somebody in Sukkot that it's koishalo, it's just a wrapper, he'd take you and say,
that's the koishalo is not just a wrapper, but this
same,
is. The point is, it doesn't matter what it's made of, it matters what its function is.
But it's made the exact same way.
No, it's not. It doesn't seem to
okay.
be.
Let us
the same exact thing. They take the kapotamer and they make a clear.
But this is wrapping the whole food. Wrapping around the
this
whole food.
This is the question. The Mishnah says in Mem, and here's according to the Magen Avraham, says this only because it's not Kalim Gemurim. It's not a Kli Gomer. Right? It's only for ripening the dates. Of a Kli Gomer, for Sosamachaber Lassar. Right, a Kli Gomer is usher, and then he brings the Supreme God, and was a doubt. It's not exactly clear what the exact reason is. What about these kind of machzolos, these mats where they sewed up fruit, produce inside, and for long-term storage, not for just to ripen? So now the question is, what does this Mishavur mean, and what's the suffix of the Supreme God? One way of learning this is that he means it's only because it's very, very, very flimsy. These things were super duper flimsy. They wouldn't last at all, you know. But if something could be gummer, if it's, you know, has a little more machzik ma'amad, a little stronger and thicker, then it would be usher. But that's not how the modern post can understand. The modern post can assume, what's the difference? The difference is whatever's just a wrapper, the food is not a kli gummer. It's not called a kli gummer if it's a disposable wrapper. It's only called a kli gummer if it's something reusable. And therefore, all of our modern-day packages, the mainstream poskim assume, are like choslo shel tamarim, even cans, which are strong. You can call them like choslo shel tamarim, and that's why there's no problem of soser if you destroy them. and that's chazar of what we've already seen. One interesting machlokes achronim here is the following, is that we had other svaras also. We're just mentioning this for choslo shel tamarim. Clearly, Choshal Tamar, there's no problem with Soser. We don't worry about Soser. Clearly, we don't worry about Korea. We see two malachos that you're doing here, which we don't worry about, Soser or Korea. However, there's a third chash here as well, and that's what's mentioned in the Bir Halacha in, there's only one Bir Halacha in Sifres, Dibur Maskel Choslos. He quotes a Rabbi Kiva Eger, who's asked the question, and then he is medayik a machlokes rishonim about what the Gemara means by mafkia. The Gemara says you can be mafkia v'chotech. You can be mafkia. What does mafkia mean? So Rashi says it means to unbraid the ropes, and that's what the mechaber paskins. So ser shar shuos hachevel. You can unbraid the ropes. However, he quotes from a Rambam. He goes among the Rambam, go to the Rambam, and the Rambam is there. The Rambam says, hold on a second, unbraiding ropes is Machadish the Rambam. Unbraiding ropes is a malacha of matir. Unbraid, that's the Chiddush of the Rambam. We thought matir meant undoing knots. The Rambam, of course matir means untying knots. But unspinning a rope, unbraiding a rope, is also matir. Like, the Rambam would say, you know, your tzitzis, usually we don't see this in our standard clothing, but your tzitzis, you see how it's all spun? If you would unspin it, besides the fact you'd be bringing your tzitzis, that wouldn't be a good idea. The Rambam would say that's a malacha of matir on Shabbos. That's called matir. And therefore, ask the Rabbi Kiva Eger, he says, if it's a malacha of matir, if we're choshish for the Rambam that it's a malach of matir, so how is it mutter here? Meaning, is this shalkayama or not shalkayama? Of course, the guy who tied your pack is not shalkayama, but the guy who made the rope made it for kayama.
We're not
unspinning it. What? No, what's shosher shar mean? You're unbraiding the rope. You're taking the rope apart into its component pieces. You are, but meaning the mechaber has various ways of getting in. One way is to untie the knot. Other way is to chop it with a knife. That's what I would have done. Another way is you find a place where it's a little frayed and you sort of just unspin it into little strands, then it falls apart. Okay, would we do that nowadays? No. Just theoretically. And the Mishnah Berurah, the Berurah Halacha here is a kasha. It's not his kasha. It's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. He says, how is this mutter? If, according to the Rambam, it's a malacha, right? Rabbi Akiva doesn't say much, says, Ayin Shem Tzarkiyim. It's a malacha of matir.
According to the Rambam, if you make a rope, it's kosher? Because that's the only way that I'm...
I understand. I definitely understand.
I would much more understand, according to the Rambam Sheet, that it says that Devik is tofer, so you can understand that taking apart a rope would be korea.
No, it would be matir. Chinam mafrid sapsila reza told us matir v'chayev. And what does he say here? Haposel chavalim. Reza told us kosher. That's exactly what he says. Yeah. That's exactly what he says. So, now, and as he assumes it's not spinning thread, is its own malacha. Here, making ropes out of threads. It says making ropes out of threads is kosher, undoing it is matir. So why is there a heter of matir here? So this is a machlokis between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. The Bir Halacha says here, it must be that according to the Rambam, it's taka usur, and he implies we should be choshes lesser, and we shouldn't do this. Must be the Rambam understood Machkiya didn't mean to unwind the rope. That's what it's unwinding. It doesn't mean to unwind the rope. He says Machkiya must be to rip it. Machkiya is to rip it. But unwinding the rope is usur. So the Beir Halacha assumes that we should be choshesh. Doesn't explicitly on Machriya. We should be choshesh that even on flimsy kalim and disposable, etc., we should not unwind the ropes. Because that's a chesh of matter according to the Rambam. And the Rambam would say the Gemara didn't mean to be matter unwinding. The Gemara meant to be matter tearing. However, the Chazon Ish gives a different answer. Chazon Ish says no. It says even the Rambam admits his mutter to unwind the rope here. Why? Because since it's just a disposable package, just like there's no Isser Soser, because Soser doesn't apply to the shell of a nut, just like there's no Isser Korea, because Korea doesn't apply to the peel of a food, so too, there's no Isser Matter, because the Isser Matter only applies to ropes that are independent ropes, not ropes that are disposable and bottled to the food. So that's a Machlokas Mishnah Berurah and Chazon Ish. If you hold like the Rambam that unwinding ropes is Matter, the Mishnah Berurah says, Soser and Korea, those I admit don't apply to the packaging, but Matter does. And the Chazon Ish says, no. Matter also it says matter also doesn't apply to them, and therefore you're allowed to unwind the rope. Okay, so that's machlokas lemaisa. It doesn't come up much nowadays because we do not, we probably don't unwind our ropes.
According to what we just discussed now, everything that we discussed at the beginning of the week and last week, and the chad pamiyim, so every time we open them, there's also sofer.
Could be, but we said it was the term we referred to this.
Those who feel that you can't open, I mean, I could go back to the example of a can of soap, because you're making the spout. But there's also so-so.
So we quote.
Because being.
So we quoted a week ago that there's a Das Yachim, the Hilo the Dovet, which you showed me, and that was all Soser's for. That Taka opening everything is also because of so-so. But we reject that. And one of the main reasons we reject that is because of, we said there were three tzadim l'haka why we reject the problem of soser. The best reason was sifches, because there's no soser if it's just a wrapper. And the other two reasons were because since they're disposable, maybe they're like muslim, it's not a stira gemura. And the third reason was that the Gemara holds in stira bekelim, like Rabbi Eliezer, and like Rashi, and so so we can mitzarif it. Okay, siftes. This is a Mordechai. The Mordechai says this is like even better than a package. It says in the old days, even nowadays, sometimes you have this on some sort of roast. I'm not sure which. You ever see those? Anyone ever make them in your house? The roasts that are like tied together. Yeah. What? Why? What's special about them?
If you want roast chicken. You want to do it together, so the thing won't stay itself.
Anyway, in their days it was common. They would roast on spits, and you're afraid the thing would fall off, so you just tie it for the roasting. You're allowed to break and cut the knots where you tied it, because that's obviously just like a temporary thing, a wrapper of the food that's pasha, that you're allowed to break it. Not even a kli at all. Yud. Here is the contrast. This is all about Caleb. Karka is a different story. The rule of Binyan Bekarka, and we'll basically starting after next month, we'll be spending a lot of time discussing Binyan Bekarka. When you're talking about Karka, then Yesh Binyan Ustira, even on something that's weak. That's according to Tosfos, different than Karka and Caleb. So Chosomish Bekarka, Gondela Shalbor, if you have a door of an opening of a pit, trap door of a pit, that you tie with a rope, you can untie it, because assuming he's talking about the Metzias, where you tie it and untie it every day. So you're allowed to untie it because it's not a kesher shel kayama, temporary, not you're allowed to untie. It's like shoelaces. Shari omid lahatar. But you can't unwind it or break it or cut it. Vishem stira. Even though it's very flimsy, it's just a rope. When that rope is part of a structure that's mechover lekarka, that becomes bechlal, real binyan stira, and it is usher. Mishum stira, because yesh stira be mechover lekarka. The davka, okay, that is pashat. What's the chiddush? The chiddush, the Bir Halacha Taka brings a machlokas here, he says, he thinks he's medayik, machlokas Rashi Tosos, is this the rice or drabana? Something that's just a rope. If it's mechover lekarka, it's a daraisa drabanan. He thinks it's a machlok is a might of the isra daraisa. Oh, it's just a rope. How is that demolishing if you just cut a rope? So maybe it's only drabanan. It's a rope attached to the ground, has hashivas of a building. Or maybe no, maybe daraisa. A rope that's tying something on the ground actually is a building. So the Bir Halacha thinks it's machlok is Rashi and Tosfos, it might even be stira daraisa, even though it's just a rope. When a rope is part of holding something onto the ground, that is a building. Okay, what's the kula we have here? The kula is from the Mordechai. It says, that's only if it is long term, that you meant to leave it all day and not break it on Shabbos. But if it's very temporary, mutter, meaning if it's temporary, you just make it for like that day, then it's mutter to break it. What was the common practice they had? They would put a board of wood on the opening of the oven, v'shorkenos of a tit, and cement it on, and then they would break it open on Shabbos. Oh, how are you allowed to break it open on Shabbos? The oven was attached to the ground. Meaning here they're talking about the ovens they had in the time of the Rishonim, which were attached to the ground. If you cement a door, you block the door, like the apartment buildings come sometimes, they condemn a building, what do? They nail on a big board blocking the door. Okay, that's mechover lekarka. That's binyan ustira bekarka to break through that. So why is it mutter? So he says she'ein also the kiyum. That's when the Department of Buildings or whoever it is comes. They mean to leave it boarded up for a long time until they go to court and work out all their violations and whatever. But over here, it's just to keep the heat in the oven so you can eat your cholent for lunch on Shabbos, right? You seal it up Friday afternoon so you can eat cholent Shabbos morning. The cholent will stay hot, right? The assumption is you didn't leave. They didn't have gas or electric then, right? You just had residual heat in the oven. maybe few coals, but how long are they going to last necessarily? So you seal it shut to keep all the heat inside. So that is, says the Mechaber, quoting the Mordechai, that is totally fine because it is very temporary, that's not a problem of Soser. Now, if you look inside in the Mordechai, where does he quote his Lashon? One second. Here we go. Here we are. yeah. The, so he, if you actually look at the Lashon, he says that, he really has two stuff in Lahakel. He doesn't say if you mamish build something for a day, he would be makel to demolish it. Like, let's say I mamish build a house only to live until tomorrow morning. No, that is not so pashut. He says really to this two stuff in Lahakel. Number one, he says this isn't real stira. Doraisa. Why isn't a real steer Doraisa? Because this is not part of the structure. This is not part of the structure. This is just sealing in the heat. And therefore, since it's not really part of the structure of how you build something, it's clearly not part of the building. It's just a door. It's just blocking up the doorway. So, and it's only meant for one day. Therefore, he is makel that. Therefore, he's makel that with tutzad and lahakel, number one, it's not an integral part of the building. It's just not pisca b'alma, it's just the door, the opening. And number two, it's only meant for less than a day. He is makel. Okay, I don't know if we totally have this situation. I don't know if we have this situation nowadays, but this factor of things that are done for less than a day comes up in a few contexts. That things that are done temporary might not have binyan stira. In Kalim, we saw the Shulchan Aruch Rav thinks maybe that's the reason why you can screw and unscrew caps. Because then for sure he's makel that anything that's done for less than a day is not a chash. That was the Lego, why many poskim matrix only binyan l'sha'a. And even when it comes to mechaber l'karka, to actual buildings, we'll see in Shin Tisvav that there are other cases, and it's going to come up in umbrellas, etc., where binyan l'sha'a might be mutter. But here is one place where the Mokr, the Mordechai, is like binyan l'sha'a. He's not discussing binyan, he's discussing stira. He says, since it is just an opening and it doesn't really seem like part of the building, and additionally, it is only temporary, he's mako.
According to what you said, that, excuse me, that the Rishitos as a whole, that untying the thing was only the Rabbanon, it would say the same thing if a person attached permanently a cover to a well with a rope. You wouldn't say that's the rise of bone.
I mean, you mean the Bir Halacha quoted Rashi and Erevin.
A little hard to hear that. I mean, if that's not bone, what is bone?
The Nachon, if you look at the Lashon of the Rashi that he that he quoted here. Yeah, so he says it's not because it's just ropes. It's because it's not you're not building, you're just locking with the ropes. It's just Rashi says, again, we're going back to the beginning of Sif Yud. Why does Rashi say that it's only Drabbanan to cut the ropes? Because you're just unlocking it. You're not actually, like, that's not, tying the door closed with a rope is not an integral part of the building. An integral part of the building is making the door, right? The way you, attaching the door with the rope is an integral part of the building. If then, the door,
That's what I was.
No, sorry, but I meant this. Attaching the door with the rope, like permanently, like to build in the door, that's the reis l'kuli alma. Here we're not talking about. We're talking about someone who has a door and they tie it to keep it shut until the next time they need to go in. That, according to Rashi, is only drabanan, and the biralach is choshes for that it might be d'oraisa. Okay. The Yud Aleph already is talking about holes and barrels, but it's no longer talking about boom. It says Asur v'tein shava o shem and av b'nekev achavis l'satim of bnei shehu mimareach. You're not allowed to put wax. Let's say you want to close up a hole in a barrel. So you're not allowed to put wax to close up the hole in the barrel, or thick oil. Obviously by thick oil, he doesn't mean like when we go to the supermarket and buy shemen canola or shemen zayit, meaning that's not going to close up any holes, that's liquid. What he means is you have solidified oil, congealed oil, right? Which when we go buy oil in the supermarket, we can't get it congealed probably because like they have some technology which makes sure it doesn't congeal so that we'll buy it, right? But in the old days, sometimes your oil would congeal. Even nowadays, if you go to the Haredi supermarkets before Pesach, they sell Shemen de Kalim palm oil, and the palm oil is not quite as good quality, and if it sits there long enough, I mean, they're going to throw it out when Pesach starts probably, but if you would let it sit there till Shavuos, it would all congeal and become semi-solid of some sort.
Margarine.
What?
Like margarine.
Great, like margarine. that's what he means by shemen av, thick oil. I mean, thick enough you could plug a hole with it. Right, so that is usur, because of mareach, because of a different malacha, the malacha of smoothing. Aval b'shar dvarim d'lesem yishum miruach, skipping the Ramah for now, mutter. So what do you say? You want to plug up the hole in the barrel. So you're allowed to stick things in it that have no malacha of mareach, like you could stick in a piece of wood, you could stick in a piece of metal. You just can't stick in putty or wax or margarine, because then you're smoothing it. And the Gemara says, shemen av is not the same as shava. Shava is a very thick, very strong putty or wax, and that's mareach raisa. Shemen av is not as strong as, again, shemen av doesn't mean like when you think of thick oil, if my canola oil was a little thicker, it still wouldn't close a barrel. It means it's thick enough to close a barrel, but not strong enough. It probably won't last a long time. It doesn't retain its form for a long time. So that, the Gemara says, mareach d'rabanan. So those are usur, but stam, to stop every barrel, is mutter. V'im hayayin yotze derech hanekev usur litein bo shum derech harama lomer she'in mechavim latzniyo sham v'im tamachach mutter lo laharim be'kach. The Gemara here has, okay, before we get to the yayin, the Gemara has a discussion, can you stick a piece of garlic into the hole in the barrel? I guess garlic will like stick in well and fill up all the crevices. Can you stick, obviously I don't mean a little piece, I mean a head of garlic, right? Can you stick a head of garlic into the barrel to plug up the hole? And the Gemara says there that it's only much like the harama, meaning you can't try to plug up the hole, because that's fixing the barrel. Only if you say, oh, I just need some place to keep my garlic. Oh, here's a good place to keep the garlic. Oh, that's a harama. You don't really need some place to keep your garlic. You're really intending to plug up the hole. So the verse says, harama is mutter for a Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham will know not to take it one step further and not to come to do Isurim. So therefore, harama is mutter for Talmud Chacham and usur for an Am Haaretz. At least that's the way most people learn the Gemara. So that's what Mechaber says, that the the shum is only mutter, derech harama, that you just say you want to store it there, only for a Talmud Chacham. It's also for Nam Haaretz. However, all the Rishonim and Achronim here ask a kasha. That's what underlies the part of the Mechaber that I haven't explained yet. The Gemara says you're not allowed to put wax because of shmearing. And then the Gemara says, meaning garlic is only mutter de harama for a Talmud Chacham. But let's say it wouldn't be harama. Let's say you say, oh, I'm stopping up the barrel. So you're not allowed to put garlic, right? If you do it in order to close up the barrel. If you're not allowed to put garlic, coal skin, you're not allowed to put wood or metal or some actual, you know, material that plugs up barrels. And then all the achronim had a kasha. Why does the Gemara first say only wax is usher because of mareach? Sounds like mareach is usher, but plugging up a hole is mutter. Then they say no, even plugging up a hole is usher. It's only mutter al yaday haroma. So here's the diukim from the iser of shava. What's the diuk? That a non putty is mutter to use to close the hole in the barrel. Right? It's only usher if you use the putty. Because it's mareach, but if you stick in wood, it's mutter. However, from the harama of the shum, what do we see? That normally any object is usher to use to plug the hole in the barrel. So this is already the Kasavish Yosef asked on the tour. It's a stira. First you say, everything's mutter. And as long as it's no mareach, as long as it's not a putty. Then you say, everything's usher unless you're doing a harama and you're a talmid chacham. But everything's usher to actually use, you know, and admit that you're using it for the sake of plugging up the hole in the barrel. So how do you answer this stira? So the Mechaber already told us his answer. How did the Mechaber answer this stira that we just read? Read again. Also, l'idin shavol shemen av b'nekev achov zesot m'nei shum m'mareach. Avol shardarim d'les b'shum r'ruach hol v'ein ayayin yotzi az mutter. V'yem haya ayayin yotzi derech ha'nekev also l'sot mo v'afilu l'itin shum derech ha'rama, etc. Right? And the Rama is just explicating what the Mechaber means. What does he say? It depends if the wine is coming out now or not. That's the that's the psak of the Mechaber. So says the Mechaber, says the heter is when wine is not coming out of the hole. The iser is when wine is coming out. What is the svara? The svara seems to be that we're not dealing, the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sivkat Memches, says the Mishnah Berurah, Mi asher l'sot midarbanan v'nidemech se kimetakin. This is an iser d'rabanan. We're not really talking about someone who fixes a barrel properly. We're not really talking about a proper stima. We're not talking about someone who mamish, like, fixes the barrel strongly. No, we're talking about someone who just, like, it's like a star, it's like a cork in the barrel. Right? So therefore, you're not fixing it strongly. You're not fixing it strongly. You're just fixing it loosely. Oh, that's only the Rabbanan. So what do the Rabbanan say? It depends how impressive it looks. If the wine is coming out and you stop the wine from coming out, that's Xerah the Rabbanan. It's only Mutter Ali De Harama. Because Harama, the Rabbanan for Talmud Chacham is Mutter. So that's if the wine is coming out, then it's noticeable that it looks like, boy, the wine is coming out and I stopped it. I really built something here. I really fixed something here, so it looks like fixing. Then, it looks like fixing. But when wine is not coming out, then it's not, alright, then it doesn't look like fixing. I don't need to write that. Right, that's the Mechaber.
Why is this different that we learn from the other Siman that the bench breaks, you can put something there? And the only problem there is Shema Yitaka, regarding the fixing of the kli, they didn't say anything. Why is that different than this hole in the barrel?
You want to say the hole in the barrel should be usher or mutter?
It's just not consistent.
Why? In the safsal, yes. You can't stick the piece into the hole.
But the safsal was broken, and it says,
right.
Only because he might be took up. So why?
Oh, because in that case, what was mutter in the bench? I just want to show you asking. A bench is missing a leg. So whatever, I put it on a phone book. I'm not attaching anything. Of course that's not that's no chasha malacha, not the reis, not the rabbanon, not even close. Here, I'm attaching something to the barrel. That's more chomer.
Putting something in the hole, that's considered attaching.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps the wine in, right?
This holds the bench up.
But it's not attached. If I pick up the bench, the phone book won't come with it. If I move the barrel, the plug will come with it.
You put something into a barrel, that's considered attached.
Mid rabbanon, it's... Here, let me give you a what they call in Yiddish, for instance. Or an example. Let's say I would have a piece of wood that was the same like shape and size of the barrel, and I would stick it into that hole and make the barrel good as new. Obviously that would be malacha. Right? So, midrabbanon, even to stick in a stam piece of wood, or a stam garlic or whatever, that's midrabbanon. It's like fixing the barrel. It's not really fixing the barrel, because I'm not making it good as new. But it's like fixing the barrel. It's really just putting a cork in the barrel. But it's like fixing it. It could be confused with fixing the barrel, because how do you know where to draw the line? In a bottle, we all know where to draw the line between a cork and melting glass to seal the bottle. But in a barrel, it's not so obvious where to draw the line. If I really put something in very well, I've now fixed the barrel. I've now made it as good as new. Remember, we saw there were some holes in the barrel that are, if you break them again, it's considered malacha because they were good as new. Right? So sometimes when I plug up a hole in the barrel, I'm just closing it. Sometimes when I plug up a hole in the barrel, it's so strong that I'm mamish making it part of the barrel. I am attaching it to the barrel and making it one chefza. If I attach it to the barrel and make it one chefza, that's malacha. Over here, we're not dealing with that. We're just estam, like amateur, plugging up the barrel. But the chiddush of the way the Mechaber read the stira is, if the wine is coming out, and now I keep the wine from coming out, it looks like I did something really impressive, really important, and therefore it can be confused with really fixing a barrel and the zegzeira d'rabbanan. And that is the psak of the Mechaber. However...
Are we saying now there's no difference in materials?
What?
In this explanation, where we said it's a strong seal or not. Now, initially we said the question was in the ratio... It was only, or was it thick oil and whatever, wax that was also some fire.
That's if there's no wine coming out. But if there is wine coming out, then any material is usher. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a Talmud Chacham and you're doing a haroma. Now, this is the most makel approach.
It's an Indian of Marasai?
No, it's an Indian of Mechsi. Mechsi doesn't mean Marasai. Mechsi means it seems like it and it might lead to a malacha. This is the Magid Mishnah. Explaining the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't sound this way. The Rambam does not sound like this chiluk. So, the Beis Yosef thinks the Torah sounds this way, but the Rambam doesn't sound this way. What is the Magid Mishnah the Rambam sounds like? The Rambam says, no, it's always usher. He's more machmir. He says it's always usher to plug a hole, again, unless you're doing an aroma of a Talmud Chacham. At least explicitly, or if you're an Am Haaretz, even derech harama. What's the heter for anything but? Why did the Rambam have to asur wax because of merech? It's always asur plug a hole. So the answer is this is wax is asur even to shmir a real word. But without an H. So even usher to smear outside the barrel, outside the hole. What do I mean by this? When he says two different okimtas, let's say, I'm going to be really, really bad at this. Let's say here's my hole in the barrel. The isser is to stick something inside the hole. That is like fixing the barrel. That's usher. The only heter is if Talmud Chacham does it derech harama.
Why?
What?
Why then?
Why what?
At least in the last one, you knew where the line was.
Because this is only drabbanan, because it's not really it's not really fixing permanently tight, and therefore Talmud Chacham will know just because he sticks some garlic in, he won't come to like punch in wood, etc. However, the Isser of Putty is not talking about that. The Isser of Putty is talking about this. It's not going inside the hole at all. It's just outside the hole. That's for sure not fixing the barrel. That is only asur because of memareach, and therefore this is more machmir. This is saying it's asur always, right? This is a kula, and this is a chumra. It's always asur to plug the hole. Oh, why do we need the asur memareach? We need the asur memareach when you're not plugging the hole, you're just putting something outside the hole, and even so, it's asur because of memareach. The Beis Yosef suggests an alternate, which comes out the same thing. Beis Yosef, L'das HaRamban, he suggests maybe it's always asur to plug the hole. Ah, why do we need the isur of wax if it's always asur? That the chiddush of wax is that it's two isurim instead of one. Right? Maybe it's always also to plug a hole in a barrel. What's the chiddush of wax? The chiddush of wax is that a regular plug is one isur and wax is two isurim. Lemaisa, these are the same thing. Because l'chore, each of these is better than the Rambam would agree to the other. Meaning, if you hold wax as usur, even smear on the outside, l'chore, if you put wax on the inside, it would be two isurim. If you held wax as a second isur, l'chore, on the outside, it would still be usur. So lemaisa, these are variations. There are two basic shatim. One is the mechaber, or based on the Torah, which is that it's only usur to plug a hole when the wine is leaking out. When the wine is not leaking out, how would that be? Let's say the hole was above the wine. Then it's mutter to plug a hole. As opposed to the Rishon, based on the Rambam, says it's always usur to plug a hole. Oh, the diuk, it's mutter to use anything but wax? No, that's not a good diuk. Either it's also use everything, but wax is a double isur, or it's also use everything inside the hole, and wax is also even outside the hole. Halach l'maisa, which needs to be paskim? Can you plug a hole or can you not plug a hole? Let's say the wine's not coming out. Can you plug the hole or not? Right? What's the machlokas here is if the yayin is yotze, then everyone agrees it's usur. But if the yayin is not yotze, then do we? How do we paskin? So the mechaber is very clear that it's mutter if the yayin's not yotzi. However, says the Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Mishnah Brura, all the Achronim say no way. Why should we have some chiddush based on the Torah and seeing the force of the Rambam that it's usher, and therefore we paskin is always usher to plug a hole in the barrel, regardless whether the wine is yotzi or not. Against the mechaber. Then why do we need the isur of wax? We need the isur of wax either when you're not plugging the hole, just smearing on the outside, or to teach you you've done two averus instead of one if you use wax. However, there's one important exception. What's the one important exception? The one important exception is, hold on, according to this, you can never plug any opening in anything, right? You can't, like, put the plug in the drain of your bathtub. You can't, you can't put a cork in a bottle. After all, that's also plugging up a hole, right? You can't, I mean, it seems a little mugzam. So the Mishnah says, a garlic is also a different material, and yet we asur it if it's not derech harama l'tam l'chacham. So says the Mishnah Brura in Sifkatan, the end of Sifkatan Memches, avo motor l'kuli amal l'stom be'etz gigon v'barza k'moshu derech tamid l'stom bo. Everyone agrees that it's mutter to stop it up with something that's meant to be used as a plug in a barrel where it's obvious that it's just something that's meant to come in and out. That everyone agrees. That's not derech binyan. Everyone agrees it's mutter to use something which the derech, I don't mean derech liston bow, don't misunderstand me. It's the way to fix barrels. Chas v'shalom. I mean, it's the way to close and open barrels. It's the way everyone closes and opens their barrels, like a cork in the wine bottle. You're supposed to put the cork in and take it out. Everyone agrees that's mutter. That's not considered like improving the wine barrel. That's not part of the wine barrel. That's just a cover. So everyone agrees that that is mutter. However, everyone agrees it's mutter, even though we just said it's usher. It's usher even to put garlic. Even though garlic is... doesn't seem to be like building. I mean, if you put garlic in, say I'm trying to stop it up, it's usur. But that's because you are you know, putting something to like fix the barrel that's not supposed to be taken in and out of the barrel. But if you put something that's supposed to be taken in and out like a cork, right? You open up your wine, then you put the cork back in and put it away for tomorrow. That's mutter, because that's something that's the derech to temporarily list on bow, and therefore it's just considered to be closing it and not to be building it. Okay. Oh, one other interesting machlokas, by the way, is how about the haroma? Can we do the haroma? Let's say we're all Talmid Chacham, we're all learning Kolo. So can we do this haroma? So says the says the Magen Avraham that even nowadays we have the Din of Talmid Chacham for the Heter of Harama. It's a big deal in all the poskim. Do we have Talmid Chacham nowadays or not? For some dinim we don't have Talmid Chacham. For some dinim we do. So do our Talmid Chacham count? Magen Avraham says yes. Our Talmid Chacham count for the purpose of Harama. However, says the Mishavur of Yesh Chol Kinolav that the El Yorav quotes about Dani Yontif who argues. So Lamaisa, it's not so pashut if we have this heter nowadays of Talmid Chacham to do a harama. Okay. Yes. The truth is that meaning what's wrong with the Magen Mishnah that you need to make an alternate suggestion? What was his reason for making an alternate suggestion? Let's see.
Doesn't say it in the Mechaber.
No, we're not talking about the Mechaber. We're talking about the Rambam. He doesn't say. I didn't think he has something wrong with the Magen Mishnah. He just suggests it. So I'm not sure. Why suggest it? I don't know. He thought differently, and then he saw the Magen Mishnah, and could be. Maybe he thought it wasn't doing the lashon of the Rambam. I have to go back and look. Okay, Yud Beis. This we already saw one nafkamina of this. This is the famous Trumas Hadeshin, right? Remember the Trumas Hadeshin said you can't take a knife out of a wall because then you're being marchiv, you're widening the hole. You can take a knife out of a bench. And the controversial part was, what about taking it out of a barrel? And that's what we saw earlier. Now let's go back to this Yud Beis. Sakh you talk about kotoshal eitz, a knife that is stuck into a wooden wall. And it doesn't dafka have to be a wooden wall. Miva od yom, also we'll see of a Shabbos. You can't take it out on Shabbos. Kevin shu davar mechuber. Because when you take a knife out that's stuck in tight, you have to like jiggle it a little and you end up widening the hole. And widening, drilling a hole, even, you're not drilling a hole, you're just widening a hole. But widening a hole in a wall that's mechuber l'karka is boneh. Kevin shu davar mechuber. Drilling a hole in a wall is boneh. And even if you have a hole, you just make it wider, that's also boneh. So it is aser. If it is in a bench or something else that is just not attached to the ground, and we're not talking about barrels with openings, just stam into a kli, then it's mutter, because just making a hole in a kli is not necessarily bona. That's ain't binyan stir b'kelim. Even if you're yesh binyan stir b'kelim when you build a kli, to just stam drill a hole in a kli for no good reason is not binyan stira. If you, this is the first of the Gemara, if you took it out once and put it back on Friday, then even a Mechor Lekark, it's okay. What's the logic? The logic is if you stuck it in once, when you take it out, you're going to widen the hole. But if you stuck it in, took it out, stuck it in again, then already, if the hole is a little wider, you might or might not widen the hole from then on. Since you might or might not, it's a Dover Shein Miskavin, and it is... and it is mutter. An interesting question, which is not explicit, is what if you just took it out on Friday but didn't put it back in? Meaning you put it in and took it out. What's clear? If you just put it in, then it's also taken out on Shabbos from a wall. If you put it in, took it out, and put it back in, right, then it's mutter. If you just put it in on Friday, usher. If you put it in, took it out, and put it back in, that's mutter. What if you took it in and out, and now you want to put it back in on Shabbos? So that's not 100% clear, because on the one hand it says, this is Asur, so maybe if you did two steps on Friday, it's Mutter. The other hand says you do three steps on Friday, it's Mutter. So if you do two steps, it should be Asur. Not 100% clear. If we had to be Madaic, I would bet.
What should be the problem?
The problem is that maybe that's the question. Is it only taking it out that widens the hole, or does sticking it in also widen holes? That's the interesting question, right? The sticking in widened holes or only taking out widened holes? On the one hand, you can say, no, taking it out, you have to jiggle it out. And that widened, after all, how do you take something out that's in very tight? It can't come out because there's too much friction because it just fits in the hole. So you jiggle it and you widen the hole and make it looser and then it comes out. But if you stick something in, you just stick it into the hole that exists. You're not widening the hole. Or no, whenever you stick in a knife, you're always pushing a little further and widening the hole.
Or else it wouldn't stay in.
Or else it wouldn't stay in. So says Mishnah Berurah Nun Gimel, Avolim lochos benotz mod yom nira de asher litchavoso bekotel. He paskins lasor. And he says that's really more meduyik than the Gemara. The Gemara says you need three steps, so says the Mishnah Berurah. That is asher. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah? It's not only taking knives out that widens holes, but putting knives in also widens the hole. Yeah.
Do they commonly store knives in walls?
Not nowadays.
Then they did.
Could be. I don't know.
Or is it to teach us other things? I mean,
it's always hard to tell. But it's always hard to tell. But the truth is that Deshin spent so much time in it. Sounds like it's a real life case. And that's crazy. It's a good place to keep a knife. No. You don't want your kids to play with a knife, so you stick it high up in the wall. I had different mitzvahs in those days. What can I tell you? Okay. The Bir Halacha here points out, that, first of all, he points out, when it comes to a barrel that's talush, this is all from Rechover, talush is fine. When it comes to a barrel that's talush, that was a machlokas, and we saw, and the Ramah asserted it because it's not just drilling, it's making a Pesach. And then in the second Shulchan Aruch, he points out, bless you, that even if you want to be makel on this, here's a big chiddush. He says, what if you want to be makel? If you remember, the Magen Avraham says, Midina, it's mutter even in the kotel. It's just a minig to aser. Why is Midina mutter even in the kotel? Because you're not trying to make a hole. It's a psikrashadol nichle. You don't need to widen the hole. And it's mekalkel. The bigger hole in your wall, the worse off your wall is. And it's not derech of making a hole because by pulling something out is not the normal way of drilling a hole. The normal way of drilling a hole is you take a chisel or a drill or a nail or something, however you make holes. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah says, you know what? Even those who are makel, what does the Magen Avraham says? Midina mutter v'nagulachner. This is all bekotel. Midina mutter v'nagulachner. However, that's taking it out, says the Bir Halacha. But if you did nothing on Friday and you want to insert the knife in the kotel for the first time, that is Aser Midina Lukuli Alma. Why is that Aser Midina Lukuli Alma? Because this is actually making a hole directly on purpose. This is not. This is the way you make a hole. How do you make a hole in the wall? You stick in a sharp object like a knife. And you're actually trying to make a hole. You're trying to make some place to keep your knife in the wall. So that's Pashat Aser. Eina malu daber.
Exactly the opposite.
Why?
Because he doesn't want to have anything. He doesn't want to do anything to the barrel. All he wants to do is put a thing in his thing. The hole is in the kalkel. So what are we talking about? Why should be also b'chol?
Okay, because he's yadayim. He's actually doing a pa'ula of making a hole. He's sticking something into the wall.
But he doesn't want a hole. What is the hole?
But he's doing it.
First of all, there's no hole because the knife is there. So it's hard to call that a hole.
How is the knife staying?
Hold on. Let's say I want to hang up a picture.
I'll explain to you what I meant.
Okay.
As for Shalom, if a person gets stabbed, you don't take out the knife. Because that in itself is the knife is closing it up. So the same thing, if a person puts the knife into the barrel, he didn't do anything. And he doesn't want the hole. I can't hear why the chalal should be also.
That's right.
Wait, this is in the wall, not the floor. Not in the barrel. Okay. Right?
On the wall, the same thing.
No, wait, you want the knife in the wall, and you need the wall to have the knife in. If it was just solid wall, your knife would fall out.
1 second.
But it's makaka on the wall.
No, now your wall has a knife hole in it. So
it's not makaka on the wall. A normal person puts holes in this wall.
Apparently that's how they store the knives. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here we are. 1 second. I don't know. The Gemara says, right? You're about to tell me they were into the top of Daf Kuf Gimel. Okay. Very good. I'm almost as quick as Lily. I don't know. The guy took me a while to find the page. Okay. You're younger than me, so you should find the pages faster. But Lily's telling me that you're supporting me, right? You're bringing it to prove the yeser.
Yeah.
There's a Mefurish Gemara on the top of the Gimel Aleph. It says, drilling a kol shehu is chayav. What's so bad about drilling kol shehu?
That's the Mishnah. Mishnah says the shiur of bone is kol shehu.
So, give me a second. According to Shmuel, he says, it's not a good, the Gemara is not like Marulach. The Gemara's answer is, give me the Okimta. How can I skin in the buzz? They answered the Parzula. You used a nail to drill the hole. The shavki begavi and left it there. The hainu gemar malacha. That is a gemar malacha. It sounds like drilling in order to keep something there. That's a gemar malacha of drilling.
What does Rashi say the gemar malacha?
Okay. The truth is that.
Maybe you wanted to use it for a hook.
You did want to use it for a hook, exactly.
So that's not what we're talking about.
Okay, so you want to say that's not the same, because there you're improving the binyan, here you're just storing a knife. Okay, you're right. Sorry. We'll have to take that back. Fine. Anyway, Lemaisa says the Mishnah Brura, since you're doing it b'yadayim, also be dino the kuli alma. Why? Because it's more chamer. Because this you for sure admit. You're being oseh, right? The nekev, what's the word he uses here? 1 second. The last bir halacha nesimin. Last bir halacha nesimin. Sedek, oseh sedek, b'yadayim. Unlike all the other cases where you're not actually directly drilling a hole, here you're directly drilling a hole. Whether it's because you want the hole or not, you can speculate. But you're directly drilling a hole, and therefore he's not mako. This, what's the nafkamina of this? The nafkamina of this, this gets into two big controversies nowadays. Do we ever have things like this where we stick something into something? Do we ever stick our knives into things to store them? I hope not. But do we ever have cases where we stick something into something? And like that's a logical thing that modern day people do?
Bulletin board.
How about bulletin boards, right? How about bulletin boards? You put the thumbtack into the bulletin board. So if the thumbtack was already in the bulletin board once, I'm not talking about that. When the stompers put the thumbtack in the bulletin board, they don't put it in the hole that was already used many times. Right? They just stick the thumbtack in the bulletin board. That's like sticking the knife into the wall, sticking the thumbtack into the bulletin board. Seems to me it's like sticking the knife into the wall. And therefore, many posts can say, Rabbi Ribiet, for example, and others say, it's usher to stick the thumbtack into the bulletin board on Shabbos.
Even if you're putting it in the same hole that's been there?
No, in a new hole.
No, it's a new hole.
What? It's what?
It's not practical to have the same hole.
Yeah, because that's making the hole be a dime. You're drilling a hole into the bulletin board.
That's not a shmakal.
They're made with so many little holes as is.
Are they?
They're piecemeal.
Now it's also made to do it.
Ah, okay. So here it's made to stick in and out. So that's why it's a little more controversial. Most of the postkim from what I've seen do not discuss this case. Do not discuss this case at all.
Could you try to define what isur it is to put a thumbtack into the thing? What isur?
It's bona. You're making a hole in a structure. You're drilling a hole in a structure. It's bona.
Awesome, a cow, because next time I won't be able to put it there. Right now, all I want to do is put up whatever I want to attach by it.
Maybe you could see it one way, maybe the other way.
It's not a hold.
I'm not convinced it's Mikalkel because right now it's holding my notice on.
Is putting a nail into the wall Mikalkel?
No.
So
push it.
I'm putting it in right now to hold my.
Anyway, in any case, the simple shot is that it's usher. I don't know. I never saw anyone put a thumbtack in the bulletin board on Shabbos.
Bulletin board is considered mechubar.
Most bulletin boards are mechubar. They're attached to the wall. No.
I'm just asking if that's...
No, it doesn't have to be. I'm just saying the typical case it is. Most bulletin boards are screwed onto the wall. You're right. A bulletin board doesn't have to be mechubar. We'll get to that in a second. But most bulletin boards are screwed onto the wall. Since they're screwed onto the wall, then that could be a problem. Oh, what if it's not screwed onto the wall? This is the big Shaila. I don't know. Whose wife wears a shekel?
What?
Probably everyone in this room but me and Yosef, right?
We don't use the
So you know you put the shekel on that styrofoam head, right? And apparently you pin it onto the head. Is that correct?
I always knock it over whenever I...
Right.
It doesn't stay up.
It's nice men, yeah. Men should avoid anything that is valuable that women like because we will just mess it up, such as shekels. But just stay far away from them and try to do no harm. But the question is, can you pin it onto the wig head on Shabbos? Right? That's the big controversy. Okay. What do people do? You don't know. You take my advice. So you don't know. What?
They pin.
So this is very controversial. This is very controversial because it's sticking a knife. Now, it's not sticking a knife into a wall. It's sticking a knife into a kli. But here the question is, this Mishnah Berurah, this Bi'ur Halacha was just machmir and mechubar l'karka. What if you have a bulletin board that's not mechubar l'karka, which is not common, meaning most people don't.
It's very common. You hang it by a hook.
Most people do not hang bulletin boards by a hook, because then they can get knocked over.
I do not show you see everything in the books, because the person who built the show doesn't want to make holes.
Okay, fine. That's not common. Now, we'll get to things that are hooked on the wall in submission test. Well, I'm not going to go into the question of the status of things hooked on the wall for now, but most bulletin boards, there's a partial reason why they're not hooked on the wall. A painting can be hung from a hook because you're not supposed to touch it, so it won't fall. The bulletin board everyone touches, so if you hung it from a hook, it would end up getting knocked down, which is why most people screw it into the wall very tight. But let's say the wig head. So the wig head is very controversial. Is this chumra meant to apply to Tolosh also? That even in Tolosh, it's usher to stick it in the first time? Again, I'm not talking about sticking it back into the hole where it was many times. It's usher to stick in the first time, even in Tolosh? Or no, in Tolosh, that's Heter Gomer, Ein Ben Yudistir B'Kalim, and there's nothing to talk about. So this is very controversial. Rav Ribi Ataka says it's usher. I didn't bring it here. Rav Ribi Ataka says it's usher to stick the pins into the wig head, because since you're making the hole behead, yeah? Then, even in Kalim, he thinks we should be machmir. Now that's not in the Bi'ur Halacha. Bi'ur Halacha is not talking about Kalim here. Bi'ur Halacha is not talking about Kalim. If you look at the Bi'ur Halacha, he says, the first time is usher le kulei alma. And then he also thinks is usher le kulei alma. However, if you're medayik in the Bi'ur Halacha, I don't know, it might be too much of a diyuk. When he wants to give this isser to say lekuliyam it's usher to stick in the first time, he used an example of karka. He just says even the magen avraham who has kulas medina would not be mekel here. He doesn't say he could have said even in kalim it's usher to stick in the first time. He doesn't say even in kalim it's usher to stick in the first time, and he could have. Meaning he says something complicated. Karka is usher even to take out and stick in the second time. But even the magen avraham who has kulas would admit that it's usher to stick in the first time. He could have just said, even Kalim is usher to stick in the first time. And he didn't. So, one could. And what's the esser? Ain binyan bekalim, just a little hole in the wig head. That's not binyan mamish. It's not making it clean. It's not bechazok over umnus. And it's hard to call a makav patish. What's makav patish? Makav patish means you're like giving it its good form and finishing. If the wig head is a finished product, this is just how you use it. You stick the pins in, stick them out. So therefore, the pashup shot in Mishmar is not like Rabbi Riviat. The pashup shot is the Mishmar. It's a diuk, but it's a logical diuk, is that there'd be no Isser at all. So Rabbi Riviat takas machmir, and therefore yesh machmirim on this. But the pashup shot in the Mishmar should be that that it's not usher to stick a pin in a davar tolosh for the first time on Shabbos, even though it's hard to know for sure, because it's an argument from silence that he doesn't answer it. That he doesn't answer it, but the pashup shot logically should be that you don't have to be machmir on the wighead.
Just to recap, Rabbi Riviat is machmir on both the thumbtacks and
on both mechubar and even kalim. Correct.
And Mishnah Berurah would say on the chubar.
Mishnah Berurah sounds like he's only machmir on mechubar, not on kalim. So what about for kalim? Kalim.
What about the previous barrel?
The what?
The
let's see. No, this is talking about the issue of Pesach. What he's saying is that if you're talking about Chavis, which has not just an Indian of a hole, but an Indian of a Pesach, what do you mean by Pesach as opposed to a hole? A hole means it's like a hole in something, but it doesn't go anywhere. And a Chavis, it obviously goes in and out of the Chavis. Is that the real halacha you mean? The previous, by previous you mean Dibras of the Chaim Echol Davar Talish? What he means by that is that the mechaber is l'shitasei, who says not only in a davar talish where it makes a hole, even when it makes a hole straight through that's from the inside to outside, that's called a pesach, he's also mekel, like we saw earlier in Siv Aleph. And the Ramah would be machmir in that, but that has to do with pesach. A wig head is not a pesach. You can't go through the hole of the wig head from the inside to the outside. It's not a doorway. It's not a doorway. That's only about the specific issue of doorways. I don't know if I understood your question.
So okay.
The Ramah's machmir specifically because of the issue of doorways. Right, of Pesach. Pesach is not the same as a Nekev. Right, so Rabbi Riviat says, Usser. But many people are making on this. And maybe the Diuk of the Mishnah Berurah is to say that it is mutter. An additional tzad l'hakel here by the wig head is that this is derech shimusho. Meaning, besides the fact that it's a davar talosh, this is the derech shimusho of the wig head. It's made to stick things in and take them out and stick things in and take them out. And since it's derech shimusho, maybe that's not called bonev. And it's hard to imagine it's called Dr. Patish. So it's not called bona or makapach, whatever chash. So therefore, logically, you would be noted very strongly to say against Rabbi Riviat. Rabbi Riviat, I don't think, is a makor. He just says a misvara, if I recall correctly. I didn't bring it here. Okay. And I think some people know the hakmer, some people know the hakel. I don't know. So far, we had one and one. Anyone else want to tell me what their wife is knowing? Or they all follow me and don't go near the expensive wigs. Okay.
Coming back to the thumbtack, I just can't see any logic behind it. The bulletin board is a kli without the thumbtack. The thumbtack is a kli without the bulletin board. The thumbtack putting it into the bulletin board, right now it's allowing whatever I want to put on the bulletin board to stay there. But at that same point, I'm being makalka, and the thumbtack is not mechubar. You, to the thing.
No, the answer is not to the thumbtack and the chubar to the thing. The answer is because you drilled a hole.
But we're coming back to the same thing, that there's no Issa to make a hole unless you're talking about bona. So where's the bona here? Because usually when you make a hole, it's because you want to use the hole. But here, the thing, you're being mechalkel, next time you won't put it in that same place. So you have a thumbtack that's a kli, the bulletin board that's a kli. The only thing I'm using is in order to have something in between these two things that it shouldn't fall. So how is that bonet? What did I bonet? I didn't build anything. It was mechalkel.
So, nearly, you can say, it's not so posh to me that this is mechalkel. Because now, You know what this hole is good for? It's holding in my thumbtack.
But the bulletin board was better. You won't buy that bulletin board if there were holes in it already, because the bulletin board is a clean, right? Now, every time I put something into that bulletin board, I make it less worthwhile. So it's makalkel a bulletin board.
Even if it's makalkel, I'm not convinced that makes it mutter l'chachila.
What's the isur?
Drilling holes in... Hold on a second. Forget the bulletin board. Back to the knife. Says the Bir Halacha. Also, l'kuli alma to stick a knife into the wall for storage. I was makalkel.
We discussed that for 10 minutes ago. What is exactly is the explanation for it? If they were talking about that, that's the way the things were done. But usually when you put a knife into the barrel, you're being makalkel.
I don't understand. Forget the barrel. The Bir Halacha says also to stick a knife in the wall. What's the difference between that and the bulletin board? Unless you want to say the bulletin board is Derek Shimusho and is, you know, but it's not such a pashut svara. Nearly, that the bulletin board is very similar to the knife. You want to disagree with the Mishnah about the knife, you can. But
you don't think you can be mitzaref Derek Shimusho and the fact that it's not one solid piece?
It's always hard to tell.
It's a bunch of cork.
I don't know, why is cork not one solid piece? It's
because
just a sponge piece.
Because when they piece together, so that you can get it through easily. Most of them is
That's
not.
Just a soft piece. It's still one piece.
I think they grind it up and they mush it all together.
And make it into one piece? I don't know. Okay. You're going to tell me a loaf of bread is not one piece, because it was just made of different pieces of flour. Yeah, now it's one piece.
Crumbles right easily.
Okay. Anyway, it's Erchian. Okay. Simon Shin Tesvav. Simon Shin Tesvav. Dvar Masuyim Shim Ohel Bit Shabbos. So here we see a new chiddush which we have not yet discussed. When it comes to boneh, there are two kinds of. When it comes to boneh, there are two kinds of boneh involving buildings. One is to like attach things. The other is to build an ohel, to build tents, to build a structure, to build a building. Right? The Achronim assume that the Madaik and the Rambam, that in the Mishkan, what they did was they attached things together to make a tent, to make a room, to make a building, to make a house. Okay. They attach things in the Mishkan, right? They screw things together or whatever, they hammer things together to build a house. Therefore, they assume that Midoraisa told that if you attach things together and don't build a house, that's Asur. Or if you build a house, even if you don't attach things, that's also Asur. And that's what we assume, that there's an Isur, even Doraisa. Obviously, if you do it in a permanent way, the normal way, etc., to attach things, even if you're not making a house, like let's just say, building a fire hydrant into the ground, it's not a house, or to build a house, even if I don't attach things. I just take some, movable walls, I put them, and then I put a big board on top of them to be a roof, that's also usher. And the beginning of Shintaswav talks about the Isra Asiyas Ol. Asiyas Ol means not because you're attaching things, just because you're building a house. What's the definition of a house? We'll see in a moment. The normal definition of a house is like a walls and a roof. We'll see which of those parts is halachically problematic. Says the Mechaber, Asr Las Ol B'Shavs Yontav. It is Asr too. He's not there building again. We're not hammering it, etc. And it doesn't have to be attached to the ground. Even if it's not attached to the ground, you're not allowed to make a house, make an ohel on Shabbos and Yontif. Afilu hu arai, it's asur even if it's arai. So arai, simple pshat, is midrabanan. But even though arai is asur, meaning what kids do sometimes, we'll have to see, but let's say the kids want to make like a little hideout, and all they do is they take like some planks or something and they put like a roof on top of it and make an ohel arai. Or let's say you have a tent, you go camping, right? You set up a tent. That is still usur on Shabbos. Even just pitch like a camping tent, which you're not really building anything. V'davka gag, however, what's the ikar of an ohel? What's the ikar of an ohel? So, it says davka gag. The gag is the ohel of a mechitzos mutter. Now here's him in a rai. Bikeva, if you're actually building something permanently, it's also to build anything. I can't take stones and cement them and bricks and make a wall, and I can't make a roof. Here he's talking about just that. Oh, hello, rai, a temporary thing. This is the discussion of, you know, of canopies and umbrellas and things like that. Says, a rai, a gag is usher, because the isser of oel rai, and a walls are mutter. And that's what we normally assume. Right, if I want to just make some wall partitions, you know, like in some places, the ulamot and places, you can like take out these accordion doors, you know, and make a wall out of it. Or if I have some wheelable mechitzas and I want to partition someplace, that's fine. But to make a temporary roof, that's the isser of oel rai, because the ikar of an ohel halachically is the roof. Right, we find parallels to this. I'm not saying proofs in any way, like for instance, sukkah. Right, all the dinim apply to the roof. Okay, that's because it's sukkah, schach, etc. Even in the Mishkan, we find the actual Mishkan was called the roof. The roof was what was actually, Esa Mishkan, Tase, Eser Yiriyoshe, Shemashzar, etc., etc. There were krushim la Mishkan. The walls were the krushim for the Mishkan. But the ikar of the Mishkan was the roof. The ikar of a structure, halachically, is the roof. So you're not allowed to make even a temporary roof. What about a temporary wall? Yes? What about a temporary wall? So says the Mechaber of a Mechitzos Mutter. This is based on the Gemara. Sorry. Ve'ein Mechitza Asura Elam Kinasas Lahater Sukkah Olahater Tiltol. The Gemara says a temporary Mechitza depends. A Stam Mechitza temporary is Mutter to make on Shabbos. But what they call a Mechitza Hamateres, a mechitza that creates a halachic heter, is asur on Shabbos. That has more chashivas. Since it creates a halachic heter by demarcating different halachic spaces, therefore it has more chashivas than a regular mechitza, and even temporary has the chashivas of a building and is asur. And that's the, what's an example of mechitza materis? Classic example is temporarily fixing an Erev. Right? That's what he means by the hot or tiltal. Let's say the Erev breaks. In one little place, the Erev breaks. So what would we say would be clever? Ah, let's just bring some planks. Let's just bring some, you know, we have these portable mechitzas on wheels. We'll wheel them out there. And how will we get there? There's no Erev now. They happen to be within Dalet Amos of, you know, or whatever. Okay. So anyway, so that is Osir, because it's not a regular mechitza. Mechitza materis. Likewise for sukkah. Let's say I'm all inside my fence. One wall of my sukkah falls down on Shabbos. So I just want to temporarily, I'm just temporarily putting like something there to close it. No, I'm going to take out a knockout keyboard and temporarily put it there so I can have someplace to eat over Shabbos. So if I already had three walls of my sukkah, and I'm just putting it to replace the fourth wall because, you know, I don't want my neighbor staring at me, that's fine. But if I now I'm down to two walls and I'm making a halachically valid minimum sukkah, that's usher, because that's a mechitza hamateris. It creates a new space with a halachic heter. So those are examples of mechitza hamateris that's usher on Shabbos, even temporarily.
Even if the thing wouldn't have a din of a mechitza?
No, only if it has a din of a mechitza.
No, I'll explain this.
Please.
Well, the sukkah, we have the Eros HaKasot, the Halacha Moshe Misina, the Shlish Estefa.
That's a din of...
But that's not the Hagdorah Mechitza.
No, but that's the Hagdorah Mechitza in sukkah.
Even though the Gabay Shabbos, that wouldn't be a mechitza.
Even though the Hatter Tiltal, it wouldn't be a mechitza, correct. Now, what are the examples of mechitza materes? Just one second. The two examples in the Mechaber here are Sukkah and Erev. The Ramah, a little later on, he has some controversial statements, but says about Mechitza, so you let sneeze be al Mashari. Just for privacy is okay. You can hang up a curtain on your doorway. V'chein peruch the Aron Kodesh. You can put the peruch in front of the Aron Kodesh. As long as you don't make a roof out of it, you only make a wall. Likewise, if it's blocking the cold, or the wind, or blocking the sun, that's okay. That's not a halachic heter. Over there, of course, the wind won't put out your candles. That's all okay. also las mechidim they or aner kedesh shamish mitaso mechidim thanks for him kedesh shamish alasos rochav im lo shayim od yom tefach shas mod lohos v'aleha be Shabbos. So what is he saying? Well, go come back to Osafa. He says another two examples of mechitza materis is in between a light and tashmish amita. We know there's an iser tashmish amita where there's a light. If you build a mechitza, it's matar tashmish amita. So that's a mechitza materis. Likewise, between svarim and tashmish amita or going to the bathroom. Let's say you're not allowed to go to the bathroom or tashmish amita in front of svarim. Let's say you want to, so you build a mechitza, that's a mechitza materis. All of these are usher because of mechitza materis on Shabbos, even if you're only making them for 5 minutes. Avi.
Some of the ways that I went by sukkah, is that a problem of tassel on usher because half is no longer doing work? It's pushed
to be able to have? That is an excellent question.
That's a machlok at the bar. And everybody else. The bar holds that you're allowed to build the walls before, you're allowed to put the schach before the walls, and all the other achronim don't hold that one.
Right, but there's a lot of cases where it's not a problem to ask a woman to also. Let's say you have a tefach wall or something. I mean, if you have partial walls, that might be enough to get you out of task a woman also. So we can make a hechidetzi.
That's one of the biggest problems in the sukkahs today, is that people who don't know, since it's easy to put the schach on before the walls, the sukkah is possible according to most shittos with the raisa. That is a good question. Okay, let's leave that with Tzurabiyam for now. And we can make weirdo kemptis, but okay, let's leave that Tzurabiyam for now. Now, fascinating machlokas in the modern day poskim is, what about mechitza and shul? What about mechitza for davening? Right, there's a lot of shuls, like our shul, right? Meaning, a lot of shuls are built, right? There's a women's section, it's a balcony, or it's a different section, and there are walls, whatever, you don't mess with them. But let's take our base medrash, right? We have these mechitzas that you wheel this way and wheel that way, etc., right? They're all awry. The Mishnah Berurah says,
okay, great, excellent. Very good. So says the Mishnah Berurah, Tznius is mutter. What does Tznius mean? Tznius, the simple shot of Tznius means privacy. And the Gemara has a case like this where Shmuel put it up for Tznius and it just meant privacy. You don't want your neighbor staring at you. But the Mishnah Berurah says another example of Tznius, again, not the old-fashioned meaning of Tznius privacy, the modern-day meaning of Tznius, for modesty, to prevent mingling of the sexes, right? So, to prevent pritzos. So says the Mishnah Berurah, if you may want to wheel the mechitzas, make a mechitza in the men, the gentlemen and the ladies at the shir, that's mutter, that's sneas, that's not a mechitza materis. Ah. But there are some people nowadays who want to be machmir. I know some people who are knowing lahachmir, and they said, that's for a shir. Because in a shir, chazal, we're not metakin and din of mechitza. But for tefillah, it's aser to daven without a mechitza. And therefore, if you make mechitza for the davening in the base medrash, that would be also to the mechitza materis. It's also, I mean, as we are aware from current events, anyone here who wants to get wayu smicha has to admit that it's also to daven if there are men and ladies without a mechitza. Anyone who disagrees, raise your hand. I'll inform the office. It's okay. You're not a registered student.
I thought it was not a mamish shul.
There's only one makar from
the... Let's say this.
There's only one makar from the pizza in all the shas, and that's the mission at the end of the sukkah. I wasn't talking about a big knas.
Okay, that is a excellent ha'ara, and I'll come back to that in a second. You're absolutely right. But I have to explain the toast. In a sefer, there's a sefer called Yisodi Halacha. That I saw, he holds this. He holds this also to build a mechitza in shul, because that's not terrorist. It's also to dam until you build a mechitza. The men are standing here, the women are standing there. It's also to dam until you build a mechitza. However, Rabbi Ribiyat says that's absolutely wrong. And one of the things he points out, Zev says the Gemara, who says a shir is different than shul? No, shir, shul, it's all the same. But why is a mechitza not terrorist? It's taka, halachically you need a mechitza. So he says the answer is pasha. You just have to be a lamdan. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is very pashut. What does mechitza materis mean? Any mechitza that happens to be matr something is asur because of bona on Shabbos? Nah, that's silly. What if I say, you know, if a guy makes a neder, he won't eat any apples unless there's a wall between him and his friend. And he puts a little wall between him and his friend. That's not a mechitza materis. What does mechitza materis mean? Mechitza materis means when halachically you have to demarcate different reshuyos. You have to separate reshuyos. A mechitza that creates a halachic new reshus, that is chashivas abone. If you made a reshus, what's the point of the mechitza of sukkah? It makes a reshus called a sukkah. What's the point of the mechitza of the erev? It makes a reshus hayachid. What's the point of the mechitza of the ner and the tashmish and the svarim and the beis hakisei? It creates two different reshuyos, so that you're not being mishamish in the reshus of the candle, you're not having a bathroom in the tzfar in the reshus of the bathroom. Mechitza materis, the lumdus, it's not whenever it's mat or something. It's when it creates mat or something by creating a new reshus. That's takabona. Normally it's only bona to make a roof, but if my mechitza makes a reshus, that's bona. However, why do you need mechitza for davening? Is it because men can't daven in the reshus of women? What does Rav Moshe say? Why do you need mechitza for davening? What does Rav Moshe say?
Shouldn't be kalos rosh.
To prevent kalos rosh, lu yitzur you didn't have mechitza. Lu yitzur you can make a force field of blue light that would keep the men from talking to women. That would also be good enough. Doesn't have to be mechitza. Lu yitzur you can have a swarm of bees separating the men from the women. That would also be good enough. The haraya, I know some people disagree with this also, because they're not lamdanim. But all lamdanim agree that a mechitza has to be omei baruch mitzuya. What if in shul you have a curtain that's not omei baruch mitzuya, you're allowed to daven? Sure, you don't need a real mechitza. You just need something that prevents kalos rosh. And a mechitza could be lovet, right? A stick every three tefachim. Can you daven if your mechitza is a stick every three tefachim? No, because we don't care about the getter mechitza, we care about preventing kalos rosh. And if there's a stick every three tefachim, there'll still be kalos rosh. Or, I know the Rav question this, how tall does the mechitza have to be halachically?
10 tefachim.
Is 10 tefachim enough to daven in shul? There are some shuls that stretch l'chakel on this, but not mainstream Orthodox shuls. What does Rav Moshe say? No, it's not 10 tefachim. How tall does it have to be, says Rav Moshe?
Shoulders.
It has to be tall enough to prevent kalos rosh. Right, so Rav Moshe has his shear, everyone has their own shear. Meaning it's pashut if you look at the definition of mechitza and all these things. Sukkah and Erev and Tash v'shamita v'sakisei, it has to be 10 tefachim tall. In shul, it's not 10 tefachim. So the answer is pasha. In shul, it's not a getter mechitza. It happens to be called a mechitza in regular language. But halachically, it's not to make a reshus through a mechitza. It's just to prevent kalos rosh. The hechitimtza of preventing kalos rosh is a wall. If you're going to have a different hechitimtza, that would also be good enough. If you put lions between the men and women, they would eat anyone who came in between them or leaned their head over, and that would also be good enough.
I wouldn't use
that.
What? In shul?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't prevent kalos rosh.
What's kalos rosh?
So it's interesting question, what's kalos rosh? Even if the men will stare the head at the women, or they'll schmooze with the women. I don't know, if there's love, but I can schmooze with all the women very nicely.
They have plenty of mechitzot that are just as high, and people look right through them.
Now we're getting into the focus.
Isn't it just to prevent mingling?
Mingling is kalos rosh, yeah.
It's actually to be able to go through it, no?
You can't go through something that's... Well, that depends.
No, I mean,
okay, yesh l'ayin, but l'maisa, if you want to get why smicha, you're not allowed to matar shul where the mechitza is made of lovet sticks.
If you have glass.
What?
If you have glass.
if you have glass, that's the probably that's a machlokes, right? Way. Whether it's because of the kalos or the looking at the women. And the Rav Moshe is not Rebbe. But all I'm saying is I don't need to get in. You're right. I'm not getting into Pirtei Pratim. I could be wrong on one of the Pirtei Pratim. Lo Mishaneh. The principle is that it's not about demarcating a Rishos. I know someone who once tried to pass a Mechitza because it wasn't Omei Baruch Matsuya. The wind would carry it away. Who cares if the woman carried away? If right now it's there to prevent the Kalos Rosh, that is good enough.
Is a better, I think a better raya from the Brisa itself, which talks about it. So Fosha Lanyan, the women Lamala, the Gvarim Lamata doesn't say anything about a Machitz.
Right.
Two different places.
But that's automatically different Rashidus, so I'm not sure it's good proof. Anyway, Halacha Lamaisa says very Ribiyah, you are allowed to make, obviously not permanent, that building. But you're allowed to make a temporary mechitza between men and women in shul. That's not called a mechitza materis. That's called a mechitza for tznius. And it happens to be that the tznius is mater davening. It would be also davening without the tznius. But since it's not for the materis by making a new reshus, it's only materis because lack of tznius would be a problem. If you're a lambda, then you see that's not mechitza materis. That's mechitza that tznius. And coincidentally, there's an isser to not have tznius during davening. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, the mainstream poskim say, you're allowed to, and that's probably what we do in Brus sometimes, right? Sometimes a guy might move those in the middle of Shabbos because he wants to go in and out, whatever, and then it's time for davening, and he moves it back into place. That's fine, because that's not mechitza materis.
Moving those is mechitza?
If you did that to make a sukkah, that would be usher. Sure, that's a mechitza, right. Yes, even though it's already standing, moving it is, if you took those things and wheeled them under your slach to make a sukkah, without getting into obvious question of tasa v'lo min ha'osoy, then that would be a problem.
There was a shul in Chicago that they said that they always started having the chitza. They said that we wouldn't do it from scratch. You know, they would move it and that. You always had it started.
So whoever's the rabbi that shul, was it someone I heard of? He's allowed to pass against Rabbi Rabbi Yat. It doesn't make your name Aretz. He was passing against Rabbi Rabbi Yat, that it's also to make a chitza in shul and shops, and it is called the chitza materis. Meaning now you could, not polite to do any things mentioned here, but theoretically. Right, the assumption of the poskim is that if your kavan is not to be matir, meaning then anyone who makes a mechitza where there's light, now they can be a shamash mitasa on the other side, maybe they'll decide to be a shamash mitasa. So no, if your intention is not for that, it's not within the xero of mechitza materis.
That's also because you change the dimensions of a sukkah.
What?
That's also because you change the dimensions of a sukkah.
I mean, you could definitely finish the walls of a kosher sukkah. The question is, can you make the sukkah bigger?
Just move it around. It's already there.
Ah, okay. Well, that might be mosif on a mechitza materis, and we'll see that mosif on a mechitza materis.
Mosif is changing.
Right, but lechori that's b'chol mosif. You already have a kosher sukkah. Okay. So that's an important halacha. L'maisa shayla in the shul Rishai used to daven at the remachar in this. I saw in a sefer sukkah. Okay, he stopped because of this, because he liked the svara halachah on mechitzas. In the sefer Sodei halacha, also he's machar in this. But he is makel on this because he says it's not matir betoras mechitza and yitziras rishos. It's matir betoras tznius, and therefore that's not considered binyan, that's just considered social, that's just considered proper behavior. Okay, there's more in this Ramah, but it is, we have the Yisod of the Mechaber, but there's more in this Ramah, but it's late already, so maybe we'll pick up with that Be'ezer Hashem next Zman. The next Man starts on Sunday. We will have Shir Sunday, the first day of the next Man, because we have the rest of this week to prepare. You might attend it every 3 weeks and forget. Okay, so you'll have the chazer on Motzei Shabbos after Pesach.